fighting for America.
There is nobody in this country who got rich on his own. You built a factory out there, good for you. You moved your goods on the roads the rest of us paid for.
Fighting for Idaho.
To make me stay for 21 days, to not be with my family, to put me through this emotional and physical stress is completely unacceptable.
Fighting for you.
Kevin, you know that the opinion of Congress is down around 10 or 12%.
Right.
If you only got 10% of the market with your radio station, they'd be looking for another disc jockey here. I know.
Don't give them any ideas.
Okay,
sir.
Well, you've got more than 10. I think you're up to about 18 or 19.
Thanks.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning here. And I have to tell you, out of my almost 20 years of doing this, I've never interviewed a coroner. Erwin Sonnenberg with us here to talk a little bit about dead bodies. Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to be here, Kevin.
Good to be alive and not on the table.
Well, that's one way of putting it, yes.
You know, we take a look at your life, your history, great profile of you in the Statesman over the weekend. What will you remember your time in office, the most significant event in your career, sir?
Well, there's a lot of ways to look at that. I mean, when you look at different deaths, maybe some of those stand out, some of the inquests I've held. But the main thing is the compassionate stuff I've given to the families and the letters that'll come back of how our office has helped those families through a very difficult time.
And nothing specific that stands out?
Oh, when I think about it, I can think of the Ning death years ago, early in my career, where a family of seven died in a fire, and I can still see the pictures of where the fire department had them laying out there on their on the grass.
Right.
I can remember that. Some of the inquests, the Jones inquest, I think, had a big impact on the community. You know, some of the murders, Hinneman murder, some of those, some of the stuff we have done over the years where we've done the process right, say, 10 years ago, but this murder wasn't solved. And then 10 years later, has you know, science has improved.
Sure.
We have the evidence that can go back and solve that crime and get the conviction. And that's nice to know, that knowing the processes and knowing the job, having the experience to do the right thing, that years later, you can still help solve that crime.
Now, how true is CSI?
That's one of the big questions I always get. CSI, I mean, you could say it's fairly, you know, fairly accurate in how the process takes, but they have one person doing about 8 or 9 different jobs.
Right.
You know, one person doesn't do all that. And CSI is actually a crime scene investigator, and a crime scene investigator is one that mainly goes around to the crime scene and collects evidence.
But when you see that, do you go, oh, come on?
Yeah, when I watch those, a lot of times I have, you know, I'm seeing the process and I'm going, that's not how it works. I mean, that guy shouldn't be doing that. You know, and, you know, it'd be hard for us. We couldn't function like TV does, you know, doing
sure.
the job with how they do.
Now, has CSI made crime fighting more difficult? I was watching 48 Hours. I love that show. And they were talking about people that study these criminal shows, and then they commit these crimes and try and get rid of the evidence.
Well, I don't know if it made it more difficult. I mean, if you look at the murder rate, most murders go unsolved in the United States. You know, that but the process brought it more up to the family. And sometimes the families, even in talking with me, They wonder why we haven't done stuff that is done on TV. We had a motor vehicle accident where the son was killed. There was no question about who he was, but the family called me back and kept wanting to know when the DNA was going to be done on him.
Right.
And there was no need to do DNA. The family knew it was their son, but CSI does DNA. And so they kept going, well, when's that going to be done? And, you know, DNA is very expensive, so you know, you don't do it on everything, and especially when the ID's already been made.
Well, when you take a look at the cause of death of people, what is there anything that, like your spider sense that ticks that, you know, if at one time it might be ruled an accident, that it becomes a homicide? In case I, you know, commit some murders later, I want to get some tips from you here.
Well, a
just
lot
kidding,
of it,
folks. Yes,
a lot of it is, you know, as you gain experience from the training you have, you're looking at things and you're looking at a scene overall, and you learn to find out just what doesn't seem quite right. You know, if something's sitting on a nightstand that normally isn't there, or something's out of place, the way the body's lying, understanding the physiological effects on the body, and when you're looking at it, it can tell you a lot of things. If that's where it was, if that's where the person actually died, or where they moved, or, you know, blood spatter, you can see a pattern, and it can tell you a lot.
Now, there are, what, 2,600 deaths in Ada County every year, according to this published report?
Right around there, yes.
It's a lot of bodies.
Yes. You know, for a population our size, that's it. When you go down to Las Vegas, you know, their coroner's office is seeing about 15,000 deaths a year.
Wow.
But their population is, you know, 2.5, almost 3 million.
So when you meet people and they ask you what you do, what's their reaction?
Well, some of them kind of go, oh, and they maybe they don't want to shake your hand.
Right.
But a lot of them sit back and go, oh, that's cool. That's cool. The thing is, you know, I'm glad you do it because I sure wouldn't want to.
Right. Let me ask you this, and I really didn't want to get into this, but I can't avoid this. This race has been very contentious for your successor, and you've endorsed one person in this race.
Yes.
Why do you think there's a lot of spotlight on your successor, sir, whoever it may be?
It seems like when you're looking at these offices, you know, experience matters. And when you can't match up with the experience, you have to find something else to attack.
But, I mean, why do you think that so many people want this position, you know, that are backing these two candidates? You've endorsed one. What's so important about your office? When, you know, we're talking in the break room, people go, the coroner? Why should I care about the coroner?
What people don't understand, the coroner's office, they look at it as being criminal. That if there's not a lot of crime, then the coroner's office job is pretty easy. Our job, the criminal aspect is not as important when you look at the overall picture. I mean, it's an important aspect, but, you know, when a person is, say, stabbed with a knife or shot with a gun and he's 25 years old, that's a pretty simple case for a coroner because perfectly healthy, has a gunshot to the chest. The difficulty comes in the law enforcement side putting that together. Ours is pretty simple. Whereas ours gets more difficult is when you have the person that has, say, died out in the public in a store or died on the workplace, and the civil issues come in. Did something happen in that store to cause him to slip and fall? Was the company involved? If it's a hospital, if, you know, depending on how it comes to us, we might get involved in some of the medical legal stuff. Are the processes done properly? So our job is the biggest aspect is making sure not just the person that has died has his word, which we speak for the deceased person, but we want to make sure if that child dies in the daycare center, we're not only trying to help the family, but we're also helping the owners of that daycare center so that people understand that have their kids in that daycare center that this daycare center did everything right. It's letting the people that have their child in that daycare center feel safe that they know there's nothing going on, that child isn't sick or has some type of an infectious disease that'll carry on. Same thing in corporations or, you know, or if you've done instances with some of the medical legal, we don't get involved in a lot of medical legal situations or malpractices, but we get involved in some. But but we're speaking for the deceased to give all the information there to help out, say, the corporation to show that they did everything right, to help out the public so the public feels safe in that situation. They know nothing was going on.
Right.
That it's safe to go into the store. The store doesn't have a lot of hazards laying around.
Right.
So, I mean, that's where a lot of our work is. The criminal part isn't as much because we don't have a lot of murders in Ada County, but we still have a lot of accidental deaths, suicides, and our rulings are very important when we make a decision. And I've had decisions that have been very difficult to make, you know, when you have a family sitting across wanting you to do something different.
Erwin Sonnenberg with us, Kevin Miller in the morning here, talking about the coroner's office, something
yes.
I've never done in my 20 years of radio. But what's up with the Y incision? What's that about?
That's just an incision that's made to open up the body. That's the easiest
But you don't have to, and you mentioned this earlier, I just want to reiterate, not every death is an autopsy, right?
No, not at all. A small percentage are, when you look at the autopsies, we're about 200 this year, and we've also got about 200 inspections, which is looking at the body without doing the autopsy. And that's important. The inspection, when we bring the bodies in, it's important that we can answer all the questions. And if we can determine the cause of death and we don't need to do the autopsy and we don't have to cover legal issues, we do what's called the body inspection. And that's looking at it from head to toe and photographing. So if people come back and make a question about it, I mean, we've had a lot of times, say a family member that lives out of state or someone else saying, that person, he had a big bruise, on his back, and this person did
it. Or the brother-in-law did it.
Yeah, and we can show that there is no bruise on that body. We can answer those questions. That's the process of where experience matters in the office, that you know that you're getting everything done right, so you can answer those questions down the road. Without knowing or having the experience, you'll miss a lot.
Are you surprised at the amount of attention that this race has gotten? We had a forum last night. You had one candidate go, another candidate not go. Very contentious charges back and forth. I mean, you seem to be a guy that's above the fray. You're about the only one in the building right now wearing a tie, so that qualifies as you being above the fray.
Well, I mean, elections are elections. But over the years, I found that, of all the people I've dealt with, probably over 30,000 deaths, very few of them have a pure background on their life. Everybody's got issues. So when I look at like who I support and who I hire in my office,
right,
the main thing I want to know is how they act under pressure.
Right.
I mean, a lot of people have stuff in their background that you want to question. Maybe.
We're the elephant in the room here. Is that what we're going to bring up, or do we keep going?
That's up to you. I've always in my career talked about anything people wanted to talk about that related to my office.
So. Well, I just want to talk to you, and I understand you have a vested interest here, but yeah. my goal is to talk to you about what you do, and your opinion is welcome.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's important that you have somebody that you know how they act when the chips are down. They aren't afraid to open up their life and let it be exposed. And when I hired Dottie,
right,
with who you're talking about, I knew about her background. I sat and talked to her about it. I mean, she's a person who, under circumstances, had difficult times. A lot of women have gone through what she's done. But she's rose up above it, got an education. And
what about,
you see how they act.
You could say that about Sherry Ibarra.
But you're talking experience. Let's go back into experience.
That was a joke.
I know it was. But
that
I'm
was
saying,
a joke.
But I'm just saying we need to look at experience.
Well, and let's let people in on this. We have it was a big issue last night. She was charged in 2006 with felony fraud after having insufficient funds to cover a $750 check. She says she pled guilty. She didn't respond in the Statesman's Voter's Guide. You see, when questioned by a Statesman reporter, she said she did have a bankruptcy in 96 in Utah, $300,000 in medical bills because her child became ill.
And if you look back in the past, a lot of people have that same thing. She was wrong in the way she answered that question.
Not disclosing it?
Yeah. I mean, she's admitted that, but she's stepping forth and talking about it. I mean, when you look at how people handle the stuff, I mean,
I think you're talking more about her than you.
But back to me.
You're about the only guest that ever does that. I want to hear about you, but that is an issue. And if people have a question on the race, would you be willing to take phone calls on that?
Oh, I'll take anything. Yeah.
All right.
Well, yeah, I'm up for it all.
Your game. All right. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. If you would like to talk to Erwin Sonnenberg about the coroner's race and his opinion, agree or disagree, we always want to make sure that people have an opinion. I'm sure we'll get some folks on this, and then you and I will talk about happy talk in
right.
between the phone calls.
That'll be fine.
But, yes, because I do, again, for people that don't have a vested interest in this race, this is about the only time they're gonna probably get a chance to hear from you.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Up all night. 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning as we continue on. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We go to the phones and we go to Reggie with Erwin Sonnenberg at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Reggie.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you doing?
Oh, it's been a while. Good to talk to you.
Yes, you too. Thank you so much for having me on, and thank you for having the. I love that Erwin is there today. Thank you, Erwin, for stepping out and being here to talk about the coroner's race.
Well, thank you, and thank you for calling in.
Yes, my question is, I don't have a problem with imperfection in people's lives. I know they're messy. We have a lot of confusion, et cetera, in our lives. However, I'm concerned about the trust factor. She did not disclose the answer to the statesman when they asked her. How do we trust her as coroner?
You know, that's a good question. But if you look at the way she answers it, I've always evaluated people on how they handle themselves in the trenches when the issues come up. A lot of times people are caught, making mistakes. You know, she's admitted that was a mistake. You know, in not disclosing it. But I've seen her in the trenches. I know how she works. And when I hire people, I look at that same thing. I don't look to see, you know, when people, they ask, you know, who's recommending you for this. You look at all the names. And I try to look and see what names have worked alongside the trenches. When I do background checks, I ask the people that have worked in the trenches to find out how they work in the trenches. And Dottie worked for me, so I know all of the background about her. And she was wrong in not putting that out, but I've seen her work in the trenches, and I've seen her in difficult situations have to make decisions. And that's where I see the importance is in making those decisions. You know, when you get in politics, I mean, your whole life is opened up, and it's a different breed when you're out there, and you have to learn. And that's all what part of a campaign is, too. You learn a whole lot of things in the campaign, and you got to learn to get thick skin. And you learn a whole lot about yourself and everybody else. And that's what I'm saying. She's out there putting herself out in front, discussing stuff. Her whole career is out there, her personnel files and everything. I question the other candidate, Mr. Chilton, that he talks about his law enforcement experience, but he guards his personnel file dearly. He will not open that up. And I think that's something he should open up today. And let the public just see if he claims his experience is so good, a personnel file shows you your history in the job.
All right, Reggie, thank you for the call. We go to Tea Party Bob from the Gem State Patriot at 580 KIDO. Have you listened to Tea Party Bob at all?
I've heard him on the show several times.
Yeah. He you better watch out. He's a good one.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you? Good morning, Erwin.
Good morning, Bob.
I've got a question. I've been reading the articles and the news about Dottie Owen. I've seen her signs around. I've also listened to Mr. Chilton. I've read some of his articles. And I've hired and fired hundreds of people in my lifetime in the business I was in. I've always found that the way people handle an interview or the way they speak to you the first time around gives you the lasting impression about what they're all about. And if you can't handle that question under pressure, then how are you going to be able to handle that same pressure when you're on a job? And I found that most times, and I say most times, when I've hired somebody and they haven't answered the questions properly, they do fail on the job also. Because honesty is something that's built in. Forthrightness is something that's a morality and an ethic. And if you can't answer a question properly when you're asked it the first time, I don't expect you to answer it again the second time.
Now, is there a question here?
Yes. The question is, how do I trust this lady if she couldn't do this the first time?
Well, you're saying this is the first time she ran for office.
I understand
I know.
That.
But I say you look at what's going on. She's out front answering questions. I say this, why didn't Mr. Chilton show up at the...
But we're not talking about Mr. Chilton. He's talking about Dottie Owen.
But I'm telling you, she's forward answering questions. She's answering questions. You're seeing
correctly.
How she responds. No.
She didn't answer correctly.
Oh, I would agree with that. She's admitted she's wrong on that, that she should have answered it differently. If you look at it, Gary Rennie, Chief Masters, and myself, we all knew the past. That's a learning experience. She was wrong in the way she answered the question. Her work ethics that I have seen since her 12 years past when that occurred is impeccable. She's out answering questions. Mr. Chilton's not out answering questions.
Right, but she's not going to be. She hasn't been in a real position of power for the last 12 years. You are now going to put her in as the senior person. And answering questions is a critical part of that job.
And that's what the public has to decide. Do you want somebody that has made a mistake in their life, which a lot of us have, but if you know the full story, you know, circumstances developed back then, she didn't answer the question right. But if you look at her worth ethics, where she's at, she's up front answering questions. I've seen her in the trenches handling different difficult questions. I've seen her working with families doing what is correct. Mr. Chilton's not out front answering questions.
Well, I don't know about Mr. Chilton answering questions, but I haven't seen him answer any the wrong way. And I guess it's going to be up to the voters to have actually have to decide.
Yes, experience matters. Experience.
Right. Exactly.
That's the thing. You've got to look at the experience.
I'll see you later, Tea Party Bob.
Take care. See you later, Kevin. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you. This is an honor. You get Ronnie from Caldwell here at 580KIDO.
You know, I don't know about this, dude, Millie. You've taught me a lot in the last 5 years, dude. And one of the things you've always said is follow the money. Is Mrs. Dottie giving you, are you on the take from her? You seem awfully proud of her, man. And I mean,
this is Ronnie, our investigative reporter here.
Oh, good morning, Ronnie. Now, you're saying, am I on the take from Dottie?
It seems like maybe she's paying you to say these things, or maybe you guys have a relationship behind the scenes that's more than just friendship, if you know what I mean. There's got to be a different angle here. I'm feeling something fishy.
Well, who's is Chilton on the take with the people supporting him?
No, I think that guy's pretty good. I've talked to some friends of mine that know a lot about politics, and they said he's solid. But this chick sounds like she doesn't pay her bills, man. And are you?
You're in the rabbit hole now, Erwin.
Yeah, you're talking 12, 14 years ago. Look at her history.
I've worked with her. How old was she then, though? How old was she when she didn't pay her bills?
Pardon?
How old was she when she didn't pay her bills back then?
She was a newly married mom with four kids. Probably she'd have probably been in her late 20s, early 30s.
Personally, I think that's too many kids for that age. That's irresponsible right there.
Now, wait a minute, Ronnie. Ronnie, this is a serious issue here.
Let me just add one thing. You may say that, but she left a marriage, went on, and as a single mom, got her college degree, got a master's, and rose and made something of her life, and is doing in a position to run for office. So she's made a lot of changes in that time.
She couldn't even keep her marriage together.
All right, Ronnie. Thank you very much. Ronnie, do we need to bring up the stalking charges with you? Oh, Ronnie got mad. Anyway. I think one of the unfortunate things that happens in politics is that we see issues, personal that have been resolved, become headlines. And in reality, it comes down to your job performance, and it will be up to the voters to decide one way or the other.
People need to find out the candidate, find out what they're about, and not vote on just feelings, but see what they're about. Find out what their experience is, and you have to vote on what you feel is the right person for the time.
Words to live by. We appreciate Mr. Sonnenberg. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 men.
Men. 5:41, Kevin Miller in the morning. It is time for the Manly Man segment. Dave Burnett is with us as we start your day with action, adventure, excitement, enthusiasm. Right, Dave?
Yeah.
Hey, you got to sell. Sell, sell, sell.
Sure. It's a good day. It's a nice day out there. 47 degrees. Still the weather decent. So that's good.
Yeah, what we're selling, I don't know.
Yeah, we're selling weather right now.
I suppose. So, you know, I'm trying to avoid talking sports with you this morning.
We can do that. We can talk about something else.
Yeah, it's just tough to avoid. I think that I think I'll talk sports in this non-sports way. Oh, if only we had 10 or 20% passion for politics or government that we do for sports. What a more involved world we live in.
I know. The Royals last night, whacks in San Francisco. Was it 7-0 or something? 10-0?
9-0.
Whatever it was. It was a big blowout. So they got one more game left. I think this one's back in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Lowest ranked TV ratings for the World Series in quite some time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But back to my point.
What? What was your point?
If only we had as much attention on politics as we do on sports, what a better world that we live in. Heck, as we disclosed yesterday, and by the way, I think I can get that while we're talking about this, we've got a gubernatorial candidate that's dressed up as a hockey goalie.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's trying to cross over.
Well, you know, what's funny is my producer in here yesterday saw that ad and went, "That's not him." And she knows nothing about hockey. She goes, "That's not him. He'd be in the hospital if he did those moves."
Wow.
I know. And she's, you know, she knows nothing about hockey, but she looked at him, she looked at the goalie doing the moves and went, "That's a faked. That's a fake." That's what her exact words were.
Right, but does that have anything to do with, how should we put this, whether or not somebody can govern? What's the deal on
yes,
that?
Yes, of course it does.
Well, now we have people saying that, you know, they're not going to go to the Steelheads games because of this.
Wow. Of course it has everything to do with governing. Why else would you have the ad?
Yeah.
Huh?
He's going to protect us.
Yes, like a goalie.
That's what it says in the ad.
One could only hope the goalie for the Steelheads is that good this year.
Yeah, well, and to win the championship.
Yeah. I will say this. It's a very clever ad.
I know, and I think it'll win some national attention for political ad writing, but, I mean, that doesn't really do anything here. It's funny, in doing a search now of A.J. Blukoff, the first thing that comes up is, A.J., you're a liberal, not A.J. for Idaho.
Yeah. He's a great goalie. So if the Steelheads get in trouble this year, boom, he's got a job.
I suppose. You know, I talked to him last night, and he'll join us coming up this morning here at 580KIDO, and he had a good laugh about it, but let's take a listen to this ad here at 580KIDO.
Business as usual for some, but skating around Idaho's problems with cheap shots won't get results. I'm A.J. Belukov. We need a change. So leaders put their energy into making Idaho a better place. As governor, I'll stop wasting time on issues designed to divide us. I'll protect our future by improving our schools. I'll block the insider deals. It's time Idaho families get a fair shot.
Not as effective on radio, really.
No, because you got to have the, you know, the big goalie moves.
I think he's up to $3.2 million that he spent.
Wow. That's a bunch of cash.
For that, you could buy some radio stations.
Or pay some teachers.
Well, I guess he's going to pay teachers.
With that money?
Well, no, with the state's money.
Oh. Okay.
So we'll be talking to him. You know, it's kind of an interesting contrast, and we'll have the governor on Friday, but, you know, we don't look at these people as individuals. We look at them as just political candidates. And, yes, they certainly do have... They certainly do have their, you know, differences and such, and pro and con. But, you know, your first campaign versus your last campaign. You know, Governor Otter's been doing this since 72.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm interested to talk to the governor about his first campaign on Friday. I'm sure people will call in, as they can call in with Mr. Belukoff today at 580KIDO. But I'm interested to find out the contrast and win or lose the end of the road when it comes to, well, campaigning for Governor Otter.
Yeah, I mean, he has made that very clear that, you know, that would be it. But I would have to say, and I don't care who you are, and I don't care what office it is, I don't care if it's for city council or for the, you know, state congressional district or for president, campaigning's got to be fatiguing.
Right.
I mean, it's got to be rough, and it's just got to be, it's got to wear on you. You know, I just know day to day, you know, doing the work here and putting the work in. And if you have a job, if you are the governor and you're trying to govern as well as campaign or whatever A.J. Belukoff does or John Bujak and what they do in their regular life and then campaigning on top of it, going to meetings, and let's be honest, going to events where you got to pretend like you care and you don't, that's got to get fatiguing. Not that I'm saying they don't care, but you know how it is. There's things you go do, and you put a smile on and go, yeah, this is the best ever. And you're thinking, man, I'd rather be home watching TV.
Yeah. And everybody last night, again, doing our politics/sports things, talking about the Big Four.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, if they'd only talk about Blukoff, Bujak, Otter,
and Panky.
And Panky
and our gang.
All the, you know, and it's funny because when I was live blogging during that debate, mm-hmm. My first draft I had, and I published a couple, Spanky needs to do this. Spanky needs to do that. It was just so funny.
Wow.
I just thought it was, I go, is his name Spanky?
It's Panky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was funny.
Yeah. One thing that did happen locally yesterday garnered a lot of attention. Anyone who's been down on 16th Street right there at the underpass, you know, it's funny. I was talking to my producer. We have both seen this coming for quite some time, where the homeless now sleeping under there. I mean, it looks like a scene out of Miami. The homeless sleeping under that underpass, that sooner or later something bad was going to happen there as police continued to sift through the evidence and what happened under there. As a man, it appears, allegedly appears to have been beaten to death under that underpass. Not good. That whole situation, not good. And why the city allows that to continue is beyond me.
Weren't we talking about the college football Big Four?
Okay.
I mean, wasn't that what I wanted to talk to you about? Kind of transitioning that, and you kind of hijacked it to go to the killing?
Oh, okay. If you'd rather talk about sports.
Well, I mean, what's to talk about? Okay, it happens. A lot of people live in Boise, right? But for people that live in Meridian, Nampa, I mean, it's dominating the news cycle. But I was talking about the Big Four. That was kind of my lead-in to go to that.
Oh, okay.
Well, so your thoughts on the Big Four?
Very political in nature. Don't quite understand all of it as to why they placed people where they did, why Notre Dame's at number 10 below TCU. Why is that? How does that happen?
Well, I mean, the top four are Mississippi State, Florida State, Auburn and Ole Miss. Yeah, mm-hmm. But you have a bias, you see, and here's the deal. You have a bias against the Southeastern Conference,
yep.
Which is the best conference in all of football. It has been proven for a fact, and it was proven yesterday.
Who proved it?
They have. They have the most lucrative football deal. They have the most watched games.
So those with the most money wins.
They draw the biggest crowds. People tune into their games. If you'll let me finish, they are number one, and they have the best teams. And you can see whether it's a computer, whether it's the committee have decided that, yes, they are the best. In fact, it should be Florida State shouldn't even be in there. It should be, I think it should be Alabama in there as opposed to Ole Miss, really. And, you know, back to my original point of the segment at 580KIDO, it's the issue involving, sports over politics, and people care more about sports. It's like Chris Trupa says, we'll just watch that. So getting back to this big committee yesterday, they made their decision, and I think that a lot of people have envy. Wouldn't you like to go to a stadium that has 80 or 90 or 100,000 people in it?
Not necessarily. I might be just as good going to watch College of Idaho.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? If you gave me the opportunity to go to a good high school football game, or a big 80,000 stadium game, I'll go to the high school game. And I mean that with all seriousness.
Well,
I mean
you
that.
You have a high school bias, though.
Oh, well, maybe you have an SEC bias.
And you know something? You are correct. I will say that. And I went down there very hypercritical of it. And to this day, I still don't understand it. I would like to see... Okay, here, sidebar. When I first got into this, I wanted to bring the magic of New Hampshire. And you're going to say, wow, you smacked me for getting off topic. I'm getting back to it. Hang on. See, I know you so well, I can do your part in this.
No, I'm kind of interested now in what you have to say.
And I really, in New Hampshire, people love politics like we love football, like Alabama loves football. And it's just so invigorating. Okay, when I went to Alabama, I go, well, we need to be more involved in the political process. They told me, shut up, Yankee. And what I would like to see, and maybe it's not possible, and this is where my bias comes in, is I want people to care just as much about the Pac-12 or the Mountain West as they do in the Southeastern Conference. Now, maybe their priorities are skewed. Not maybe. There are. It's religion there. They're crazy. That's what makes it unique. But it would be nice if the Pac-12 had somebody like a Paul Feinbaum or, you know, somebody like a Danny Cannell, like in the ACC. And when I was in the ACC, I thought, you know, it would be nice to bring it there. It's just, I guess, unique to that region. So, yes, I'm out of the closet with my SEC bias.
How about that? I never would have thought you had that, Kevin.
What, that I could admit it?
No, you had an SEC bias.
But my point, why can't it be like that everywhere else? Now, you would say, well, Kevin, if you had the cozy relationships with ESPN and everyone else, then you do that. Look, the Big Ten makes quite a lot of money because they're markets, but they don't have that Jim Risch factor.
You know, I'll go back to your original point.
Which was?
If people cared as much about real life about sports.
You're right. Here comes the smack.
It'd be a better world.
And back to your point about the killing under the bridge, where the reason why they let those things go on is, what, isn't it a First Amendment issue?
To be able to sleep on the street?
Remember, and you're right, that's been going on for years, but didn't they try and roust them out, or they were going to, and then the homeless got mad? And not to be confused with the people that are trying to make a better life for themselves.
No.
But, and as you pointed out yesterday, when you're talking to your producer, hey, let's go down and skateboard in front of there with all the people on the street.
Yeah, I mean, how would you like to send your kid down to Rhodes Park to skateboard when all of that's going on? When there are facilities available in town. In fact, part of them are spilling over from the sanctuary. That's what's right up the kind of alleyway that all those Tent City has been set up down there. I don't know if you've seen next to the connector. It's Tent City there. And how that is allowed to continue on. But now, some violence has taken place there, which we saw coming.
People, and you've got to go, but people calling this Little California. See, I think it's more Little Portland. Boise.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. Having lived in Portland.
Yes, you're the Portland authority.
Other than there's not the
Portlandia.
Weirdos of Portland. Oh, my goodness. But I come from Portland, so I can speak with authority on that, Kevin.
Yes, you can, unlike
and
me.
I'll let you go ahead and go back to daydreaming about a world that has an SEC-only football league.
So relatable in the West, isn't it?
Yeah. Traffic now, Kevin.